This is Lois Beckemeyer, and this is session three of Chancel Drama. And the title of our presentation, session four, How Time Flies When We're Having Fun. Okay, and the title of our session today is Children and Drama. By the way, yesterday I was talking about clowning, and I meant to show you this picture. I've mentioned that I worked with a youth group in Park Forest, Illinois for a long time. And I had a number of players, of course, who worked with me. Usually they would be with me for like 4 years during their high school years, and then they'd go off to college or to work or whatever, you know. But I had one young man who was extremely talented, who had just the finest voice, just a real booming voice, and a lot of self-assurance in drama. And his name was Rich Manns. It sounds like Rich Man. But anyway, after he went to college, graduated, and so on, he started a clown ministry. What is he doing? He worked for an insurance company or a legal aid company or something like that. Financial analyst for CNA Financial Corporation in Chicago. But he did this in his spare time. He had a clown ministry. He'd go to hospitals and do clown ministry or to church groups and so on, who'd ever ask him. So I thought that was kind of neat, a little follow-through on different things that we've done. I've had a number of the young people go on and do more, and of course a lot of them also had gotten involved in drama in their high school groups, etc. But just wanted to mention that as a tail end of the clown discussion we had yesterday. Today we're talking about working with children, and there are a number of things that I want to talk about. Now, one, we did this the other day for Narnia. A couple of the women that were leaving earlier, I asked to help me, Cheryl and Betty helped me. And we did a puppet presentation for the children in Narnia using these four little puppets. Now, I got started working with puppeteering in Sunday school again. And here again, my working with children, my background is working with Sunday school children. I've been Sunday school superintendent for a number of years. I've been Sunday school coordinator. I've taught Sunday school. Right now, since I've been out in Washington, I've been teaching high school age kids. But even so, I work with the younger kids as well. I have been Sunday school superintendent out here as well. We got started out in Washington at our church at Prince of Peace in Tacoma. We got started on puppeteering when the Ladies Guild decided that they wanted to do something to help the children learn more about Advent. The Ladies Guild was working on helping people to understand more about Advent. So the Ladies Guild made four puppets, not these, that they used then, and one of the women wrote a script explaining what the meaning of Advent. And they asked if I would get the high school kids to do the presentation. And so we did. Well, that was the start of the ongoing adventures of Hermie and Gertie. Now, I've brought these puppets along because they are more they're more easily packable. These are some that I have from my counseling in the school district. But this is Gertie and this is Hermie. Hermie and Gertie are very spacey. They never know quite what to do, what's right, what's the proper way to go about things. They are inclined to miss Sunday school more often than they go, and they never quite know the right answers. Then we have the straight arrow kids. This is George and Sally. George always knows all the answers. George goes to Sunday school every Sunday. He listens carefully to what the teacher and the pastor say, and he really knows a lot about the Word of God, and his, as well as his friend Sally, who really supports him and everything. They are both very bright and very capable. And interesting thing about our story of Hermie and Gertie. By the way, we do have a large cardboard box that we use, an old refrigerator box that has been decorated to look like a little house with a window in it. And what we do is take a tablecloth, a plain tablecloth, and put it over the altar railing. And then three of the characters are always down below, hiding behind the altar railing with their puppets up above. And then the box is usually set up a little higher, and one of the young people are in the box with the fourth character, who will appear in the house, you know, calling out the window. It just makes for a little better variation to have the two levels. And so we've presented these quite often for Sunday school. The lady who wrote the original Advent story is a very straight-laced, proper lady. And every once in a while, she'll come and she'll say to me, we haven't done a Hermie and Gertie for a while. I just thought I'd write a little something. Now, if you don't want to use that, that's fine, you know, but I just happen to have written this. And they're real cute, you know, they're really neat. And so different ones of us have added to them. Some of my teenagers have written Hermie and Gertie's. And so we've added to our collection of Hermie and Gertie stories. We've maybe got a dozen of them now that we can use off and on. You know, we've repeated a few of them now. But we always accept new ones and new ideas. Just for an idea of what Hermie and Gertie do. Here's a Hermie and Gertie that's called Summer. And what this is it's almost like a commercial, because this was done at the end, at the closing of Sunday school. And what we're trying to do is get the kids to plan to come to church, because during the summer we don't have Sunday school, so we'd like the children to come to church. And we are having Sunday morning sermonettes that are presented through the summer months. And so we want the children to be aware of this, so we did it through Hermie and Gertie. Let's read. How about you being Hermie, you be Gertie, and I'll be Sally and George, the good guys.
Hi, Sally. Hi, George. Where are you two going all dressed up?
Well, this is Sunday, isn't it?
So what?
Hermie, you know Sally and I always go to church on Sunday morning.
Yeah, I know. I usually do too, but Sunday school is over for the summer and church is only for the old people. And besides, Gertie and I are going fishing this morning.
All right, remember that they're carrying their fishing poles. I don't think we read that at the beginning. No, it doesn't say that, but they would be carrying their fishing poles. Hermie, don't you remember what Mrs. Beckemeyer, our Sunday school superintendent? That's when I was superintendent. Oh, that's not me. Yeah, it is me. Tis I. Don't you remember what Mrs. Beckemeyer, our Sunday school superintendent, said that there would be something special for the children at each service?
Now, I remember her mentioning it, but I don't remember what the something special is.
Hermie, each Sunday there's going to be a part of the service just for the children. We go up to the front of the church and hear a special story just for us.
Hey, that sounds like fun.
Hi, gang. George and Sally, you're a little too dressed up to go fishing with us.
No, Gertie, we're on our way to church.
Church? Why church? Sunday school is over for the summer.
Oh, no, here we go again.
Oh, Gertie, George and Sally say there's a special part of the service just for children. Why don't we go and see what it's like? I haven't felt so good about skipping church on Sunday mornings.
Me either.
Well, why don't we all go to church? And then we can all go fishing together and even have a picnic in the afternoon.
Sounds good. Hermie and I will hurry home and get ready. See you in church.
And we'll see you in church too. All right, so we use that as a little commercial, and the kids The kids just love the Hermie and Gertie stories, and whenever we have the box in the chancel for our Sunday school opening, they know it's a Hermie and Gertie story, and they're all really excited about it. So it's always been kind of fun to do these. Here's another one, and we did this one over for the children in Narnia. And this is talking about the feeding of the 5,000. Just for fun, these puppets that I brought along are really, that's you or Hermie, weren't you?
Right.
All right, that's Hermie. And Hermie has a bag, and that has to go on your little pinky finger, okay?
Okay.
Here's Gertie. And I'll be Sally and George. Just to get the feeling of how the puppets work. See, your thumb and your little pinky finger go out the hands. You could see that these could be very easily made, right? The ones that we use that the Ladies Guild made for us are really falling apart now. We've had them for about 6 or 7 years, and they're really falling apart, and they don't work nearly as easily as these, and we really should make a new set. So this would be kind of a nice thing for us to do. Okay, this is the story of the feeding of the 5,000, and it starts off with Hermie, who is coming down the street with his lunch bag.
School's out, school's out, school's out. Oh, hi, Sally. Hi, Gertie.
Hi, Hermie. Hi,
Hermie. Hi, Herm. What have you got on your lunch bag? Is there anything good to eat? Can I look? Can I?
I've got a peanut butter cookie that I saved for my lunch today, but I don't have enough to share. We worked super hard in school this afternoon, and now I'm really hungry.
Okay, I'm going to hold this for just a minute. Now, your puppets, whenever your puppet is in conversation, now watch, you've got your hand, your fingers should be behind the head. Your center fingers should be behind the head of the puppet.
Oh, I've got two of them there, but not three.
Okay. You were crunching up her dress by that.
Oh.
See? Is that more comfortable now?
Yeah.
All right. Whenever your puppet is talking, be sure that they're in motion. See, they can wave. See? Hi, everybody. I always introduce the puppets. You know, I like to introduce the puppets at the beginning, too. Hi, boys and girls. My name is George. Hi, I'm Sally. You know, have them wave. They can pray. See? Put their fingers together. Yours is having trouble with the brown bag.
Right.
They can cry. See, put their hands by their eyes. So there are a lot of things that they can do. Okay. Gertie, a fine friend you are.
Let's see, where
right in the middle, a fine friend you.
A fine friend you are, when you won't even let us have some of your cookies. Let me see.
Hey, what's going on out there? You guys starting an argument or something? Oh, Hermie and Gertie are fighting over a peanut butter cookie that Hermie saved for his lunch today. But he really doesn't have to share with the rest of us. He only doesn't have enough to share with the rest of us. He only has one. That reminds me of Jesus.
Now, how can a peanut butter cookie remind you of Jesus? That doesn't make sense.
Well, one time Jesus was preaching and teaching on a hillside next to a big lake called the Sea of Galilee, and there were a lot of people who came to listen to what he had to say. Oh, I remember about that, George. They say that there were as many as 5,000 people who came there to hear him.
Hey. That's a lot of people. They say that there were,
I
looked up and, that's a lot of people. Maybe even way more than come to our church on Sunday mornings.
Well, these people ended up staying all day long listening to Jesus, and no one had brought along his lunch, except for one little boy.
Okay, this is where I get into the story. Me and my lunch bag.
Except that he was probably carrying a basket instead of a brown bag. And instead of a cookie, he had some fish and bread with him.
So he made a big tuna fish sandwich, and everyone got a bite.
How could 5,000 people all get a bite out of one tuna fish sandwich?
Well, that was the most amazing thing. Jesus called the boy over and blessed the basket of bread that he had. The basket with just a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread. And they all said their prayers like they were having a great big meal. And then he told his friends to start passing out the fish and the bread to everyone. Now, I don't think that they made sandwiches, but they just passed out pieces of fish and broke off chunks of bread. Now, believe it or not, every one of the people there got plenty of food to eat. And when they were done, they even had lots of leftovers.
You mean that little lunch of fish and bread that the boy had with him was enough to feed all those 5,000 people? How could Jesus do something like that?
Yeah, how could Jesus do that? Sounds like a miracle to me. And they even had leftovers for the next day.
I guess it was Jesus' way of showing all those people there that he loved them and was concerned that they wouldn't be hungry. Well, he had preached to them all day to feed their minds, and then he had also...
Oh, I get it. Food for the body and food for the mind. God provides us with both kinds, doesn't he?
Right. And even now, he keeps on doing this for us, too. In a way, when the pastor breaks the bread for Holy Communion, this helps us to remember how God provides all these things for us.
Yep, food for the body.
And food for the soul.
Oh, George, I just baked a big batch of peanut butter cookies, and there are plenty for you and all your friends. Wow, thanks a lot, Mom.
Say, this is just like the feeding of the 5,000. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. And they can all fold their hands at the end. All right, a couple things if you ever work with puppets. One is the kids who are behind the drape are inclined to let the puppets tip forward. Yeah. So you always have to teach them to arc their hands like this, see, so that when they hold them up, they have to be conscious of arcing their hands backwards so that the heads of the puppets stay up. Because when you're down low like that, your hand starts to get tired and you start to drop. So that's an important thing to remember. And to keep the puppet in motion that is doing the talking, that's how the kids identify who's talking, because that particular puppet is in motion. And so those things are kind of important. Hi.
Hi.
All right. By the way, when we did this over at Narnia, we did not use a drape or anything. We just sat in a row and had the four puppets and presented them. The kids, as soon as the puppets start talking and start moving, they identify with the puppets and they don't pay much attention to the person behind them. You begin to disappear and the puppet takes on your character. Okay, but again, you don't do something like this without practicing it a few times. And it is good if you can do it without constantly referring to your script, you know, have some eye contact, because otherwise it seems like you are disinterested. See, you're not interested in what the characters are doing. So you want to be able to. Now, what we did was had one of the gals, we used one script, and we sat the three of us together with one, podium.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and then the one gal had a free left hand and she followed the script down for us so we wouldn't lose track of our place, which worked out just fine. So you can do it very informally, and these puppets could be put together very easily. So that is the ongoing adventures of Hermie and Gertie. Okay? You missed the puppet show. Sorry, ladies. All right, give me my friends back. Okay, now I want to talk about a few other types of dramas that you can use. One thing, when we're talking about children and drama, we have to decide, are we talking about drama for children or drama with children? See? So we have to decide what we're doing. Now, what was, what the puppet shows, what was that?
It was four.
Four children, see? And in that case, you would have adults. I use my teen group, you know, and we do the puppet shows. Partly because you have a hard time getting the adults to squat down behind the altar railing and do this and sit in a box. But anyway, so that would be done. Now here, this is kind of a cute one, and I don't have copies of it, but I'll just kind of give you. This is one that could be done with some adults and some children. It could be done with children and for children. It both. And this is kind of a funny one, a silly one. Suppose there was a servant. It's the story of the unprofitable servant. Suppose there was a servant plowing or minding sheep. We have three characters, narrator, servant, and master, and then the three sheep, who could be little children, are non-speaking parts, but they could be dressed in sheep costumes of some kind. In this case, you would want it for a costume, and you'd probably do it for a Sunday school program or for a fellowship dinner or something like that. It wouldn't be done in the chancel. Suppose there was a servant plowing or minding sheep. The servant appears and he carries a machine that looks sort of like a mine detector. It's a stick with a lot of electronic apparatus on it and a large metal bar, metal point near the base. The servant goes back and forth across the stage with his machine making a loud buzzing noise. Narrator, excuse me, servant, but are you plowing or minding your sheep? Servant, actually, I'm doing both with my new Dreamco battery-powered combination plow and sheep minder. So now I'm going to skip around a little bit. Now say I'm plowing along here. I've got some sheep in a field over there, and I want to call them. I just switch on this little gizmo here, and it sends out a special high-frequency sound that only sheep can hear. He switches it around, and he waits for the sheep to come, but they don't come. Sometimes it gets a little jammed. He tries it again. Suddenly it starts vibrating and three sheep instantly enter. The sheep nuzzle the servant and they fondle him and they kiss him. Down sheep, down sheep, beat it, scram. Narrator, well, anyway, suppose there is a servant plowing or minding the sheep. He comes from the fields after a long, busy day. Servant, that sure was a long, busy day I had. Sure am hungry. The master sees his hard-working servant. Master comes in. Master, hard-working servant, good to see you. Narrator, what will the master say? Will he say, look, you've already put in a full day, you must be hungry. And the servant says, I'll have your dinner in a minute. Oh, don't bother, sit down, you can eat with me. And the servant sits at the table. But who's going to fix dinner? Master, we can send out for pizza. Do you like yours with anchovies? Or the master will say, and they keep redoing this scene, got my dinner yet? Up on the stove, you can come and get it. The master gives him a stern, I'll bring it to you. He serves the master. Hey, isn't he supposed to thank me? Narrator, technically he doesn't have to, you're just doing your duty. Master, I notice the dishes are piling up in here. I'll get to them, sir. The garbage needs taking out. Yes, sir. Floors could use some cleaning. Right. Did you hear that? I still got to do the dishes, take out the garbage, mop the floors. I've already been working all day. Narrator, it's duty. Master, this goulash is pretty good. Glad you like it. Save some for yourself? Yeah. Good. You can eat it later, after you finish your work. Sure, master. Good night. After I finish my work, I sure liked it better the other way when we called out for pizza. The three sheep enter unseen by the servant, and they carry a boxed pizza. The narrator signals them to go back, go back, go back. Narrator to the sheep, not yet, not yet. Servant washing the dishes. Oh, the master could at least be grateful. Narrator, should the master be grateful to the servant for merely carrying out his orders? Servant, well, I know one thing. I deserve a medal for all the work I do around here. No. No? Narrator, when you've carried out your orders, when you have carried out all your orders, you should say, I'm a servant and I deserve no credit. I've only done my duty. You mean I have to be humble? Afraid so. I could still use that pizza. The sheep start to enter with the pizza box again. The servant doesn't see them, and the narrator signals them to go back. Not yet, not yet. Servant, my goulash will be cold by the time I get finished. You're so gloomy. Well, what do you want, that I should whistle while I work? You could at least smile. He fakes a smile. Sheep one comes in, talks to the narrator. Now? Now. The sheep enter with the pizza. They come up and they hug and fondle and kiss the servant. Hey, what's going on? Down, sheep, down. One of the sheep gives him the pizza. A pizza? For me? Hey, you guys shouldn't have. Look, what time is it? You should all be in bed. I mean, you've had a busy day. All that grazing you do and standing in line to get yourself sheared. You really shouldn't have bothered. He tastes the pizza. It's very good. You guys want some? And the sheep shake their heads. Yeah. I guess you don't eat pizza, do you? The narrator clears his throat. Servant remembering the narrator. Oh. And he hands him a piece of pizza. Thanks. Hey, wait a minute. Did you put them up to this, these sheep? Was this your idea? Like a demonstration? I'm supposed to see how they do this out of love for me. And then I'm supposed to get the idea that I should serve my master with the same kind of love and devotion? Is that the idea? Narrator, eh. The servant tries to suppress a smile, but he can't. He puts his arm around the narrator, and they walk off. And the next lines are mumbled as they exit, munching pizza. These anchovies aren't bad. The cheese is pretty good, too. And the sheep hold up a sign which says, the end. All right, would that be good for a fellowship dinner? Or something like that? What else? Anything else?
Retreat.
Retreat? Okay. Could be done with adults in a retreat. But kids like it, don't they? Right?
She was giggling.
I caught you giggling. You were caught.
Okay.
Now, this is one that could be done with children. You know, we're talking about for children, with children. The last one could be done, you know, with some children and some adults, or older boys and girls. This one could be done, which would be fun for children. This is called, and this would be good for Rally Day or Palm Sunday or anything like that. Could be used in Sunday school, could be used in church as, you know, if there would be a children's participation of some kind in the church worship. It's called A Walk with the Boy Jesus. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I want you to get the idea of what happens. Now, we have here several characters, and the kids take these parts. Like you could have, I've done it with each of the Sunday school classes has a different part that they do. For example, what does the rooster say?
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
You got it. Now, can you cock-a-doodle-doo good and loud?
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
There you go. What about the turtle dove?
What?
Turtle dove.
Ooh.
Okay,
ooh.
There you go. Okay. What does the donkey say? Hee-haw.
Hee-haw.
Hee-haw. Loudly.
Hee-haw.
There you go. Okay. The sheep? The wolf. Oh, there you go. Okay, we've had howling practice this last week with the summer solstice, so you weren't here early enough to have howling practice. Uh-huh. And the other one is wind in the barley, which is rubbing hands together. You know, when you get a whole class of kids rubbing hands together, that makes wind in the barley. Okay. Have you ever wondered what Jesus was like when he was your age? What did he see and hear and feel? Come along and we'll go back in time and place to his boyhood home, Nazareth. We'll walk with him, stopping to look and listen as he might have done. From the coolness of an April morning, the boy Jesus awoke and awaited the dawn. A rooster crowed from the yard. He was outlined by the first streaks of early light. Jesus rose softly and stepped gently from his house. that now the children will be told that they are going to follow whatever I do. So now I'm going to tiptoe, and the kids would be standing and would tiptoe with me. So remember, you're all tiptoeing here. He walked quietly so as not to disturb his sleeping parents and his brothers and sisters. A low morning haze was over the village of Nazareth, where he lived, and the surrounding countryside. The air was fresh and crisp, and in the yard, the rooster crowed again. Jesus stopped. He smiled at the perky red fowl that was calling so noisily. He thought how dependable and clock-like was the crowing of the rooster.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Another sound caught his attention. The family donkey.
Yeah.
Brayed for attention. Jesus tiptoed to his side and patted him. Everybody pat, please. You're not tiptoeing, but you can pat. Okay, pat the donkey. The donkey was an important part of life in Nazareth. Villagers used their donkeys for riding, for pulling the plow, for turning millstone to grind grain, and so on and so on. I'm going to kind of skip over there. It talks about Palm Sunday when Jesus rode the donkey in. A cooing turtle dove caught his attention. He strained for sight of the bird amidst the swaying grain, and then he saw it, the small yellowish, grayish-yellow turtle dove, causing the whole landscape to reverberate with its soft, plaintive cooing.
Woo!
Woo! We got a double coo there. April, the northern hill country at its loveliest, and the migrating turtle dove announcing the spring had come. Okay. Mm-hmm. Jesus spotted the shepherd. He recognized him as a man from the village, a good shepherd who would give his life for his sheep, and not a hired man who would run away at the approach of the wolf. That is the poorest excuse for a wolf I've ever heard in my life. Oh, there you go. Heavens. We have to have better training in this group. A lamb stopped, and the shepherd picked it up and carried it on his shoulders. Jesus smiled. He knew that someday people would call him the Good Shepherd. It was time for him to return now, and among the common people, one had to work hard at an early age, and already Jesus' family would be stirring. But before returning, he remembered all the sounds he had heard. The rooster, the donkey, the wind in the barley, thank you, the turtle dove, the wolf, and the sheep. And he thanked God for the beauty and excitement of his world. And then, with a heart overflowing, Jesus' day began. So this could be, you know, done as a participation with children. And that, of course, you can see could be very readily put together. You don't have to practice it or anything, really. All you have to do is have somebody who knows what they're doing the reading, so that they do pause for the different parts, and the children have to be primed very carefully at the beginnings to know what they're doing. Pardon me? All right. We've talked about this before. This is contemporary. No, that's all right. We love all you people, whether you come early, late, or whatever. And I didn't get sign-ins for our sheet today. You were here yesterday, too, and I didn't get your name. And so you're... Oh, were you? Yeah, but this week, I've got a new sheet this week. Were you at the first class on Monday? This week?
Tuesday.
Oh, okay. Well, just check your name then. Put a check at the beginning. Do you have a pencil there?
Yeah,
okay. Okay. And your daughter, she'll put her name down too. And Lee, if you don't mind. Contemporary Drama Service is the name of the company. These two companies are about the only ones, if you want to take it and copy, you know, if you have any reason to copy the information, do it. Those are the two companies I've found who have reasonably good drama service and work with church drama. I've not found any other companies that do. And they will send you catalog. Here's the Contemporary Drama Service catalog. This is what the CSS service catalog is. And you have to send for reading copies if you want to use them. But they all, it's all copyrighted material, so you do have to pay for a play kit if you're going to use it. And I have encouraged everybody, be sure to pay for play kits if you use stuff, because that keeps people writing.
What's the average cost of a typical play?
I would say around $15, 15, something like that. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to pass this out, partly because I have extra copies. This is one that I wrote a while back, and I have since rewritten it and made it longer, but this is the shorter version. And we'll just read through a little bit of it and have more of you reading. Do we have enough there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Enough for everybody? All right. Okay, just set it down there for a minute. All right, this is a Palm Sunday drama. It's the story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem on the donkey. And it's a group of children, and it's like they're waiting to see a parade. And so the first group comes running in, and they climb up on the church, you know, the chancel lower step probably. And they're looking for the parade, you know, how kids look for the parade. Hey, is it coming? Has it come yet? You know, that type of thing. So the action is the kids lining up like they're on the sidewalk, on the curb, and then the little ones, you know, they'll run in the street and they'll look down and try to wait for the parade to come. Okay, let's just read a little bit of it. Kim, Dale, Billy, and Jackie. Lee, you want to be Kim, Dale, Billy, and Jackie. All right, just for now.
Hey, over there.
Lucille, I think you're Jackie.
Oh, I thought I was Billy. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
This is a great spot.
We'll be able to see everything.
I'm glad we came early.
Look at all the people gathering. There's going to be quite a crowd.
I'm so excited I can hardly wait.
Lee and Terry are supposed to meet us.
Will they be able to find us?
I told them we'd be right around here.
Maybe they aren't coming.
Of course they'll come.
Yeah, Lee wouldn't miss this for the world.
Do you see them yet?
No, not yet.
Hey, there they are.
Hey,
we're over here.
Over here.
Okay, Kim.
Wow, look at the crowd now.
All right, so the second group comes in, and what is your name?
Drea.
What?
Drea.
Drea? All right, Drea, would you be Kim? No, be Terry. Okay. I'll be Lee and Pam. We'll just read a little further. Terry.
Hi. What took you so long?
We thought you weren't coming.
Oh, I had to bring my kid sister along. She walks so slow.
I don't see anything. We missed it. She's a littler girl. Pam is. Okay. Oh, I'm Lee. Okay. Aw, dry up. It hasn't started. Oh, where is it? And she walks out in the street. Hey, stay here. Don't get lost. Why did I have to bring her?
She'll be okay.
Hey, I think I see something.
Oh, where?
It's nothing.
Just the police.
I'm so excited I can't wait. I've been waiting for this all day.
I hope the clowns still can.
Are there going to be clowns?
All parades have clowns.
Well, I hope so. This is a great spot to get some candy.
I can't wait.
Do you see anything?
Terry?
Oh,
no.
That's Jackie.
No.
Do you see anything yet?
No, just the police clearing the streets.
Mom
gave me a quarter to buy a balloon.
Lucky. Get a red one.
Do you think there will be a marching band?
Sure, probably two.
Or three.
Or four.
Or a million.
All parades have bands.
With shiny uniforms.
Terry.
Oh, tall hats.
And big drum. Boom, boom.
And baton twirlers. I want to be a baton twirler and march in a parade. Ah, you'd get tired.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, you would. Well, not when I'm older.
Hey, I think I see something.
Oh, boy, I can hardly wait.
It's nothing.
Get back on the curb.
I wonder how many floats they'll have.
I bet hundreds. Don't be silly. That would take all day.
How about maybe 10?
There'd better be horses and cowboys.
Of course. This is supposed to be the best parade ever.
I can hardly wait.
Okay, now Jerry comes in, and Jerry is kind of a wild little kid, and he comes pushing through all the other kids. I want to see the fire engines.
Hey, stop crowding.
I can't see.
Well, you don't have to get pushed.
Well, you don't got to be so big.
Here, let me stand.
Let him stand there.
Let him stand here, there's room.
Gee, thanks. I still don't see the fire engines.
I don't see anything either.
Me either.
I wish it could come. I wish it would come. I can hardly wait.
I'm getting tired of standing.
Is it coming? Can you see anything?
Move your head. You're in the way.
I think I can see it.
Do you see any clowns?
And fire engines?
Any bands?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Hey, I really hear something now. I think they're finally coming.
Oh, I just can't wait.
Wow, it sounds like a lot of people shouting.
What in the world are they yelling? Where are the fire engines? Parades always start with fire engines. And the baton twirlers. This is the shortest parade I've ever seen. What are they yelling? Say, those nuts are waving something. Palm branches? This doesn't make sense.
They're shouting, Hosanna.
Hosanna? What kind of a word is that?
It's an old shout of praise to God.
God, God, where's God? I think he's the one on the donkey. Hey, those guys are throwing their coats down on the ground in front of him. That's stupid. They're all going to get dirty with that donkey walking over them.
They don't care. They're doing that to honor Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus? You're kidding. What's he doing in a parade? Now the people enter, and this could be a group of other people, enter shouting with great enthusiasm, and they're yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna, the Son of David, and so on. And then they like are surrounding an open space, you know, like a pretend, the figure is pretend. And they come in, and we're going to see action now where they're petting the donkey, looking up at Jesus, and so on. And this is kind of hard to direct because you have to get the kids to imagine that there's someone there. But they can do that, okay? Why, it is Jesus. Can I pet the donkey? Jerry goes over and he starts to pet the donkey and looks up at Jesus. Why, he smiled at me. He looks so big, so straight, so magnificent. He looks like a king.
He is the king. The king of heaven and the king of earth. He's coming to Jerusalem to be crucified.
Crucified? Gee.
Yeah. He's hung on the cross, and he died there, and then he's buried.
Big deal. God dies and gets buried.
So let me finish. He gets buried, all right. But here's where the king thing comes in. 3 days later, he wakes up. wakes up again, and everyone sees him.
Boy, that's great.
So great that it could only have been done by a king. The king over death, the king of earth, and the king of heaven.
If Jesus is really God, and really the king, and really became alive again, then he can really make us alive again in heaven. Hey, that's really great. And the group starts marching out, yelling, Hosanna, 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 again with their branches. And they drop a palm branch, and Jerry kind of tags behind. And after everybody else has pretty much marched out, and Jerry's kind of looking around, he grabs the last palm branch, and he waves it and yells, Hosanna, Hosanna, and he runs out the back end of the church. So, okay, moving right along as our time is really narrowing down here. Here's another one, which is a Christmas participation one. This is also out of Contemporary Drama Service. We read through this last week. It's again participation similar to what we had in the other one. Here we have some of you know this. It's out of an old, it's the 12th century Christmas Carol of the Friendly Beasts. I said the donkey shagging in brown. Okay, and the kids recite the different little four-line verses, and then they have the donkey sound, the cow sound, the sheep sound, the dove sound, which makes me think it was interesting. The girl from Norway who spoke at Vespers the other night was talking, read from the Bible, and read the word dove as dove. And I thought, well, that's interesting because, of course, we have two pronunciations for D-O-V-E. Anyway, this is similar to the one we talked about before. This is one that we did, now that's with children, of course. This is one that we did for children at this past Christmas. It's called Waiting. And here's a picture of how they did it. Now we had, what you have is three characters and two angels. Actually, we did it with one ladder. But it's really neat because these three people, and they do it with all boys. We had three boys and two girls. You know, you can vary that. That doesn't matter. The angels are Raphael and Gabriel, and they have come to make proclamations. The three boys and the three people down here are arguing about different concerns that they have. And the angels, and they're talking about Christmas, and they're very worldly in their concerns. And then all of a sudden, these two boys come in dressed in choir robes, of course, white robes, carrying the ladder. And they set up the ladder in the middle of the church. And of course, you can imagine that at Christmas time, the little kids' eyes really bugged out when they saw this ladder come in. We didn't ever rehearse with the ladder until the evening of Christmas, of the program. And then they make their proclamations, and what they're saying to these boys and girls is that, listen, Christmas is every day. It's not just at Christmas time. And so then they finally, after they leave, they feel convinced that Christmas, yes, indeed, Christmas can be every day. And they don't need to be so resistant to all of that. Meanwhile, Raphael and Gabriel have quite a little repartee between them, and they talk together about, you know, handling this assignment and so on. So it's pretty neat. Short script that can easily be put together for Christmas, and one that I think with just a very little effort on your part would be fun to do for a Christmas program, as part of a Christmas program. By the way, we did this. It was one of our very best Christmas programs that we've done in years. We don't have a Sunday school superintendent right now, and none of us was willing to really take responsibility for it. So we did a singing service, and the children, we did all the familiar hymns,
The children sang the first verse to the hymns, and then the congregation sang the second or third verse. And the congregation loved it. They were able to really enjoy. They enjoyed singing all those songs. And you didn't have to worry about the children mumbling through the second verse. And we did spend time on Sunday mornings, the month of December, practicing the familiar hymns. But most of the kids knew them, and you just had to kind of refresh their memories. And two of the kids, one had a piano solo, one had a violin solo, to add a little variety. And then the little children came up and sang Away in the Manger and one other song. But that's all there was to it. And then the teenagers did this playlet. And it was just a delightful Christmas program without any extra rehearsals or any extra falderal. And, except for the play, of course, we rehearsed extra. I have an Epiphany play here, which I just discovered as I was packing things up to bring here. I had started writing it and never finished it. But if you're at all interested in looking at it, I'm not going to go over it now, but you might want to pick it up when we have freebie day tomorrow and take a look at it. It's the story of the boys and girls are coming into the chancel on Epiphany, the Sunday after after Christmas, and they're cleaning up all of the things that were left over from the Christmas program. In other words, like they had left the shepherd's staves and the robes and the angel wings and all that sitting around in the chancel area. And so the kids come out and they're cleaning this up to get ready for Sunday morning worship the Sunday after Christmas. And it's their conversation, and they kind of put on the various parts and talk about it. This is not really complete, so if you pick this up, you may want to do some rewriting on it, and I will do some rewriting on it, but that's basic play. Okay, the last thing that I want to talk about is our musicals. And some of you may be involved with choirs or have access to a choral group. And we had a very excellent musician for a while at our church, and she did have a very nice children's choir. One of the things we did which was fun was It's Cool in the Furnace. Somebody asked me if I'd ever done It's Cool in the Furnace this week, and I can't remember who it was, but it's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the music is absolute fun for the kids. It is just really fun singing. I don't know. Let's see. It starts out, "My name is Daniel," and there are two main characters, Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, and the prophet Daniel. And I trained they were really like 18 and 19 years old, so they were a little older, to do those two roles, which are primary, and the one is a singing role particularly. And then the kids did all the chorus singing and acted out the parts. But the interaction between Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar really needs to be done by an older boy or girl, and our older boys or adults. Daniel says, "My name is Daniel, and I'm here to tell you a story. It's really a great story, and it happened to me and three of my friends, Shadrach." And the choir says, "Shadrach? Meshach? Meshach? And Abednego." "Abednego? Oh no, Shadrach. What kind of a name is that? Meshach. Who has a name like that? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh no, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego lived in Judah a long time ago, had funny names, and they lived far away, but they set an example you can follow today." This is set to music, of course, and really neat songs in that. Here's another one that this same woman did with the choir, with her children's choir. And again, I supplied the actors for the parts, and those ended up being singing parts as well, so they were singing and acting parts. This is called The Singing Bishop, and it's a Palm Sunday presentation. It's the story of Bishop Theodulf it has to do with the writing of the song of the hymn All Glory, Laud, and Honor. And he was in prison, and in spite of being imprisoned, he spent his time singing hymns. And then the king came by one day and heard this singing, and he thought it was so beautiful, and he commissioned the song to be written down and so on. Anyway, this was for the beginning of our, was used as a beginning for our Palm Sunday worship that Sunday. And so that was a neat script. And the last one I'll mention is, and this is something else, I've always wanted to get into this a little bit more, and I've never really done a lot with it, is to do more dance, chancel dance. And the same woman, she did have a few of these types of things. I don't know how to dance myself, you know, this type of modern dance, but it could be done. But this type of thing could be done, and I do have some copies of this. And how I've seen it done, like you could have a group of two or three or four people, boys or girls, you know, in general, I think you end up doing children's participation things more for festival things, because when the children are in the chancel. But any of these things could also be used, like for Sunday school openings or fellowship type activities or anything like that where the children are involved. Now we're particularly talking about children's things here. As far as like adult type chancel dramas, I prefer to do them when it's not a festival time, because like especially at Christmas, you can never get the kids together during Advent time because they're all so busy. Or you know, if you're working with an adult group, everybody's busy during Advent, and it's very difficult to prepare. So I like to prepare chancel dramas on the off season. Or around Easter, I like to do them either for Palm Sunday, which is prior to the primary Easter celebration, or else the Sunday after Easter works out well. I've got a couple of Sunday after Easter, like the Doubting Thomas one that we read through a little bit. And
if these are part of our worship service,
if it's a full length, you know, 15, 20 minutes, then it's in the place of the sermon.
Right.
We'll be talking about drama as sermon tomorrow, and I'll also be going into working with gospel and epistle lessons done dramatically tomorrow. Other than that, if you have, like, you know, this one could be done at the beginning of the Palm Sunday service, right, as an opener for the Palm Sunday service. Or I've done them like in between gospel, if it's a short thing, you know, five to 7 minutes or something like that. I've done them in between the gospel and the epistle lesson.